I'm Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And this
is the Eshcast.
This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 434. Who will win E3?
I didn't know it was a game.
This is Electric Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl gaming, tech gadget, and anime podcast. I am Ninja Sister.
And I am Pandalicious.
Welcome to a brand new episode of our weekly podcast, Panda.
Hello.
How was your week?
It is okay.
Yeah. I mean, we got sun, so right there, it should be better.
It's a lot better than the snow. Like, okay. I love the fact that I can look outside.
Right.
And I don't see anything white.
Yeah. Except for some people.
Well, yeah.
Right. But other than that.
Like,
right.
Weather.
Right. I just like the fact that there's, like, only a little bit of, because where I work is out by where they stored all of the snow that they took out of streets. So it looks like a mountain of shit that is slowly dissipating, because we now have sun in Massachusetts. But what's really nice is because we have sun in Massachusetts, the ice cream sandwich truck has started showing up.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So right there, win. Win of the week.
Lucky you.
Yes. Yes. Fresh made ice cream with fresh made cookies to order sandwiches. So if you want a snickerdoodle ice cream sandwich, you can get it.
Oh,
I'm so excited. It's summer in Massachusetts. Because frozen hoagies is on the roll. Oh,
that sounds so freaking delicious.
Oh my God, it's so good. It's so good. It's everything I've ever wished for. Like, I wish somebody would, like, deliver ice cream. And they do!
God does exist.
Dun, dun, dun. God is good. So, there's that going on. Plus, there's a bunch going on, like, in the general nerdery of things. You know, we've got movies popping off. Some movies getting ready to pop off. Like, I'm really excited. I think I'm finally going to see Age of Ultron this week.
Oh my God, yay! Because once you finally watch it, we can finally talk about it on the show.
Yes. So my goal is to actually get out and see it this week. And it looks like the stars are aligning so I can do that. So that's
please
number
do, because it has taken everything in
I know.
Not
I know. And I appreciate you also not talking about it on Facebook, because I would have
I know,
to angry call
my
you.
Facebook forces you to see
Facebook
whatever
Facebook does not allow me to not see anything you post.
So that's why I was like, I can't even talk about it
nope.
to my millions of friends on Facebook.
Only in message.
Like, even then I have to be careful because I keep confusing other people's boxes for you. So, like, I'll say things like, yo, bro, what are you doing tonight? Or blah, blah, blah. And then it's like, what? I'm like, oh, sorry, I meant to text that to my sister. Sorry.
Dude, how do you do that? Right now, my avatar is our mom's face.
I know, but I do it all the time. And then I'm like, sorry, I totally didn't mean to say that to you. And they're just like, oh, well, that sucks. I'm like, I know. I'm like, we'll hang out soon, though, I promise. Like,
right now, I got to get a hold of my sister.
I'm like, I was trying to do the right thing, and I've now done the wrong thing.
Okay. I was working on being less douchey in 2015, and I failed.
I'm not douchey.
Oh, damn me and my douchiness.
But well, no, so I'm keeping my mouth shut. I'm not talking about it.
Appreciate you. Appreciate you so hard on that right now. So, I am losing my voice because I created the ultimate summertime playlist in my car for driving home in redonk traffic.
Uh-oh.
Yeah,
uh-oh.
And so I've been singing all week at, like, the top of my lungs and rapping because,
well,
like, really and truly.
Two of us, I'm glad one of us can rap.
Yeah, really and truly, it is, like, the most bomb-ass summer jam playlist ever. I'm so in love with this playlist. Like,
but anyway, we're not here to talk about music and your
thank you, Spotify. Well, kind of. Music can get nerdy. I have some chiptunes on there because it's not summer without a little chiptune. But I got other things to talk about this week. I got E3 stuff to talk about because, you know, we're weeks away now, so we get to start the E3 hype train.
Woo woo!
Chugga chugga chugga.
Choo, bitch, to get a, you
know, gotta talk about Suicide Squad because the internet has blown up about it. I think it's finally cooled off a little bit, but we're gonna stoke that fire just a little bit, just a skosh, to talk about that, and you know, just some other general nerdery things going around with Star Wars and things, because it's like you can't turn around and not be like hit with something Star Wars in the face. And also, I almost have a reason to go down to Universal Studios now.
Almost.
Yeah, almost. Not quite, but almost. So we'll talk about all of that. I think the first thing I want to jump into, though, is the E3 hype train.
Really?
Yeah. I'm going to start with the hype train.
You
want to
start on our high note?
I'm going to... No, it's all high note. I'm going to start with the hype train.
Well, you are, but my stuff's not necessarily happy today.
I know, but see, then we're going to bring it back up with Star Wars stuff. Then we're going to go back down a little bit with the game that I know you've been playing. And then hopefully I bring it all back around talking Disney and Nintendo. All
right. All right. That's actually really good. Put the punch in the face in the middle so that people forget that they've been punched in the face.
Right. See, again, it's all because I made that mixtape. I got the peaks and valleys back, so it's all good. All right,
well then, E3 away.
All right, let's talk E3 hype train. So, a couple things that I want to go into because, one, E3, like I said, just weeks away now at this point. Meeting invitations are starting to go out. You know, I'm looking forward to the media briefings, mostly because Bethesda's having a media briefing. This is the first time that Bethesda will be holding a media briefing.
And you better get all up in it like a ham and cheese Sammy.
I'm going to get all up in it like a Monte Cristo.
Oh.
See, a fancy hammy cheesy.
Hell yeah.
Because I'm very excited. You know that it's got to be a big title for them to do a pre-show briefing. Because the thing is going to go down on the Sunday before the show even starts.
Oh my god, you know this would be a great idea that they're going to announce, like, the biggest... Like, if they manage to dominate the conferences so that their party becomes, like, the it fucking party.
Well, Bethesda's party is usually, like, really very close.
Anyway, like, I happen to really enjoy them, so, like, that's not...
Bethesda throws saying, a like, great
they
party.
Break E3...
Like, Bethesda might break E3, though, because think about it. For them to do a big media briefing, it's got to be more than one thing, because they're not just going to hang their hand on
that. It's
going
to be all the things. It's going to be all the things.
So think about it, all right? Bethesda coming up with, like, new Fallout game, and then, like, adding to that, like, my brain just starts going, oh, my God, there's so many things that they could bring, like... They could bring the Doom game, you know, because they did a bomb-ass job with Wolfenstein.
Yes, they did. And they already talked about the new addition that they're doing to Wolfenstein.
Right? So I'm just like, they gotta have...
them bring fucking Doom. Bring Doom.
Like, Doom. Seriously. The team
I
that worked on Wolfenstein...
I signed up for
that beta list, though. Yo! Alright, so, like, if they came and they brought, like, a brand new fucking Fallout, brand new fucking Doom, and then, I don't know, another survival horror game, like, that would be massive drop the micable.
But which one?
They might come out with a whole new IP. I mean, Evil Within was not a franchise maker, I don't think. But hey, I could be wrong.
I don't know if I can necessarily say that it's not. It has enough fundamentals that they could easily like the base mechanic of what you were doing. I feel they could easily do. And I mean, it's still kind of in the same vein as like Alan Wake with the whole psychological thing really being an element in the game.
Right.
And I mean, there was talk back in the day a little bit, a few months ago, where Remedy was like, well, we might be seeing a sequel to Alan Wake.
Right.
So, like, they're opening the box, so, like, why not?
Could you imagine?
oh my god, I would cream myself.
This is what I'm saying. So, like, right off the bat, like, Bethesda might win E3 before anybody else has a chance to even step up to the plate.
Well, we've seen people do that before, though.
Yeah, Activision has kind of crushed it.
Rock Band totally took over PAX East with their announcement.
Rock Band took over PAX East. But even back in the day when they announced the Beatles Rock Band game, like, they took over E3, and everybody was trying to get into that party that they had on the rooftop and try to play games early. And, you know, like, Harmonix definitely knows how to make a splash, okay?
They certainly do.
So, you know, I'm very, very excited to see what on earth Bethesda's gonna do. So right there, like, the not knowing makes the anticipation even so much better. You know, and then you have things that just feel, like, weird that you know. Like, this will be the first year that Sega won't be there, that they won't have a booth, because Sega's, you know, left console, and they're focusing completely on mobile. But at the same time, Disney's gonna have a bigger presence at E3. You know, EA is going big. So I'm just like, okay, bring it. There's still more talk of what's to come out of Microsoft, and Lord knows what those guys are working on. Like, every time I think I've figured out all the stuff that Microsoft is going to do and they're going to bring to the table at an E3, I get completely turned around. Like, last year, I thought that they were going to be doing so much more with Kinect and talk about so many more things they were doing with Kinect. And right before E3, they came out with the console bundles without the Kinect on them. And I don't want to say have abandoned motion games in the Kinect, but they're not pushing it like they were initially.
I think they've realized that while the idea is a very solid idea, I think they don't have a proper way to utilize it yet. So they still need to play around with it some more and really kind of hone in on what...
Well, it's an imperfect science because it's new, right? So, of course, you got to go through some more things.
They just need to play with it some more and really hammer down what they want it to look and feel like, especially for all the multitudes of players who would be coming in and doing whatever they are going to be expecting players to do.
But what I have to say that I'm not looking forward to is I'm hoping that there's not, like, a shit ton of VR at E3. Like, that's my big fear between what Sony's been working on with their motion VR piece, and then to see the different things with HoloLens that Microsoft, you know, has teased that they want to do. You know, Oculus is picking up great steam, which, you know, I love the innovation, but just like I was not on the 3D TV bandwagon, I'm not, like, sure-fired, hot-fired for VR. Like, I want a holodeck in my house.
You are never getting a holodeck, sis.
No, they're going to make a holodeck.
No, and even if they do, you'll be boom fatty money, and you nor I make boom fatty money. You will never have a holodeck.
But somebody will make a knockoff one.
Nope.
I want...
Shh.
Can I get a replicator?
Okay.
I just want something that I could walk by that I could say, tea, Earl Grey, hot, and get a cup.
Whoa, you're not Picard, slow it down.
Kind of Picard.
No, you're not.
Like, in the line of captains, I actually kind of am.
No.
I'm not Janeway.
That's sure the fuck
I'm not Kurt.
That's also very true.
Okay.
You're closer to Picard or Sisko, in my
Thank
opinion.
You, and you're, I am a Picard.
You're a better fusion of the two.
Sisko?
Prosisco.
Wait, Prosecco?
It's real.
Anyway. Sometimes I am. So, you know, those are a couple things that I'm hyped about. I'm really, 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 really need to spend time at Disney's booth. I need, like, in my life.
Don't talk about that now.
I'm just saying, I need it in my life.
Don't talk
I think, frankly, like, that just needs to happen. I think a lot of people are going to be in love with Warner. And I want to know what Rocksteady's working on. Because, you know, it's not just Arkham.
Right. Oh, no. There's so much more going on there.
Easily. Okay. And we haven't heard anything out of Quantic Dream in a long time.
Now I want to play Heavy Rain, like, so bad.
Dude, I'm telling you. But think about it. You haven't heard anything out of Quantic in...
Because they know better.
Years.
They know to hold
Which means...
It, hold that news like you're holding a pee and you're in your car and you're like, if you could just make it to the house.
Okay. And you know that Sony's media briefing is going to be really uncomfortable because of all the shit that's gone down with Konami.
Oh, yeah.
So...
Please make sure you... I hope they give you an awesome seat. And I wish you all the best.
Yeah. That one's going to be interesting. Like, because, first, I need to get the invitation because I still haven't officially gotten an invitation yet. But I will be on the floor in the media section with my stuff, like, logged into the internet, powered on so I don't lose power while I'm there. And you better believe I'm going to be live tweeting the hell out of it with the team. Like, it's going to be crazy. It's going to be crazy and very, very surreal.
Oh, my God.
And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised. I know Nintendo's not doing any, you know, media briefings and big events at the show, but with all the stuff that they've got going on and the success that they've had with Amiibos and some other things I'm going to talk about later in the show...
I think they're going to be okay.
Nintendo is going to be all right. And so it'll be very interesting. You know, they've already said that the Zelda game is not coming until 2016. And I appreciate them being like, nope, not rushing it. We're going to make it right. It's all good. So outside of stuff that we already know about, like, what could Nintendo be doing? Because they got a booth. They got their big booth like they always do.
There's
got
to be something coming, things coming for the Wii U.
You know, so, and Take-Two... has space at E3, so, you know, there's stuff obviously there, because it can't just be for Grand Theft Auto 5 on the PC, because that done been released.
Yeah, and they've already released heists and stuff.
Yep. If they've got a booth, that means something new, and I'm damn sure that it's not Grand Theft Auto 6.
No.
So...
Probably not.
I lay awake at night thinking about, so are they bringing a bully game? You know, because they did buy domain names for that.
Dealt years ago, and just because they bought it now doesn't mean they were planning to utilize it right away. They just want to have all their eggs in the cart.
You know, or they've been working on a game for 3 years and it's about ready. You know, it could be either or. I mean, this is the year, Panda, of people surprising us with, oh yeah, by the way, we haven't talked about this game at all, but we're actually bringing this game out, bringing it back. No, by the way, it's going to be out before the year's over. You're just like, wait a minute! It takes 3 years, 4 years to dev a game. What? Coming out this year? That means you guys have been keeping this secret for how long?
The industry is all about secrets. They're all rogues with technical skills.
Your NDAs are strong.
People get murdered over shit like that.
Truth. So, I'm really starting to get very hype about E3. I think that this could be a very strong software year for gamers, which is a good thing. You know, I really, at this point, just need Ubisoft to back up off the Assassin's train for just a little bit and actually get Beyond Good and Evil 2 out the door.
It's like, guys, we know what you can do.
Okay?
Open world games, you're really good with water, like, we've seen it.
I got it. You know.
And how about you show me what you can do with your left?
Because you kind of peaked with Ezio Auditore, so good. And the games are great. Love you to death. But here's the deal. You fucking teased me with BG and E2, like, 3 fucking years ago. I haven't heard dick. Okay?
Like, it's that friend who you know, like, does awesome French braids. And, like, you want to hang out with her. But, you know, she's just going to want to French braid your hair. And you're like, wow, that's great and everything. Because I love it. I love the French braids you do. But how about you show me what else you can do?
Exactly.
Like, can you do a pompadour? Can you do a faux hawk? Like, show me what other skills you've got. Because I already know that you're, like, excelled in this thing.
Yes.
And I know you've got the skill sets for other stuff, so blow my mind.
Exactly. Bring the other skills to the table. Okay? So really for me to have a killer E3, I need Fallout. You need
to just fly and everyone has to give you everything that you could ever have asked for?
No, I don't actually need all of that. What I need is a new Fallout game.
Okay.
What I need is Beyond Good and Evil 2 with an actual fucking ship date, or at least a date of a playable beta. I need whatever Bethesda's bringing to the table, because you know it's going to be badass.
I want the Last Guardian game.
Thank you. That's what I was ending it with. That's and what Last Guardian. Like, I want
fucking Last Guardian.
Last Guardian. Just which fucking...
Which is sad, because I didn't play Ico.
You didn't play... How did you not play Ico?
I did not play Ico, and I only got halfway through Shadow of the Colossus.
Really?
Yes.
I'm surprised by that.
Back in the day, let's flashback back when Sam Goody was a legitimate place to
get games. You got it at Goody?
No.
Oh.
But Esh Mom, because she loved walking the malls, because, you know, that's what you do on a Saturday with your mom, and you hope you can go into one of your stores and be like, hey, I want this thing, get it for me. And we would go to the same Goody because I had a rewards card, and because I spent so much of my money getting anime and stuff, one day I went over to the game section, and there was Aiko staring me in the face, and she was like, do you want to get it? And I'm like, I don't know. Three of my friends said it's okay. One of my friends said it's not so good. And I kept going back for like 3 weeks, no lie. Anytime we went, I would stare it down, and it kept going reduced in price. And like the one day I had it in my hand, I'm like, okay, I'm going to do it. And I didn't, because the new VHS, and that's how old this story is, VHS of Fushigi Yugi came out, and they were the exact same price. And I was like, I can't get both.
All right, so, Panda, you missed out, because Ico is really a hell of a game.
About how riveting it is, and how good it is, and I'm all like, yeah, it was totally great. I didn't play
fake ass gamer. No, here's the thing. I'm just saying, you poser. If you're sitting there like, oh yeah, it's a great game, and you never touch it, you're a poser.
I'm not a poser. I agree with the masses. That just makes me a follower.
That makes you a lemming. And those are kind of
a poser. And I admit it.
So
I've never seen the Godfather movies either.
That's okay. Neither have I. So here's the deal.
Die Hard movies.
Wait, what? All right, no, I'm getting off track. I was about to give you a...
What happens during Christmas?
God. Oh, my God.
Ms. McCain?
Focus. So, Ico was a very good game, and where you missed out is I would put it in the same echelon as Journey, because there's not...
The Thing?
Huh?
Before Journey was a thing. Holy crap.
Because the basic mechanic was you are a child in a village.
And you find this chick made out of light and whatever.
Yorda.
And you drag her around to places that are dark because you can't see.
It is a escort. The entire game is an escort mission.
Okay.
But the thing is...
There.
Listen. Okay, the thing is, for a big chunk of the game, the only weapon you have, because again, you were a kid and you were entombed, you were just supposed to die in the tomb, but you broke out, was a stick. And you don't speak Yorda's language, and Yorda doesn't speak your language. So you basically just call out to her all the time to get to places. And you help her up, she helps you up. So it is a very interesting companion AI. But so much of the game is just about... not the battling of the system and the fighting, but really communicating with someone that you can't really communicate to accomplish something.
Oh.
And which is why I think that you would absolutely love the game.
I probably would. And now I would kick myself in the foot, but I don't want, my awesome mic to catch it. But I'm now kicking myself
that. Yeah. You should have played Ico. Should have did that.
But I do want Last Guardian because I want that feathery, cute cat.
I need dark fucking Falcor. That's basically the way I think of that thing.
I want a plushie of it that I can curl up with, and I could give Sam a friend because Sam is quite lonely.
Aw. So like, my E3, I will not be able to stop talking about E3 if those things happen.
Oh no, whatever shall we do about you talking all the time?
About E3.
About stop. I'd rather hear you talk about E3 for the next, like, 6 weeks than hear you talk about Destiny for the next...
Well, you're going to hear me talk about Destiny because I'm pretty much going to invite you every fucking day once the DLC drops on the 19th. Every day. day.
Like, what are you doing, bro? Nothing. You want to play?
Great. Get on Destiny.
What are you doing? I'm washing my hair.
Dry it. Let it air dry because I need a third. Get in on this fucking strike. Because I'm doing a Nightfall. Get on this.
Anyway.
Alright, so that's going to happen. Just accept it and fucking play the game and you'll be fine. It'll be fine.
Just accept this as my fate and just move on.
Exactly. Once you accept the destiny into your life, you're much happier.
It's like Jesus.
Right. But you don't have to give it 12% of your salary.
It's like Jesus, because you can complain and pray and then have nothing happen.
Oh, as far as being able to not do it? Truth.
It's like, please, please give me this gun. I've worked really hard for this gun, Jesus. I have killed all the fallen, like you've said.
Dude, I told you they're changing the drop rate.
I know.
RNGesus is supposed to be much more favorable. The Cryptarch is supposed to be less of a dick.
I actually kind of like the fact that the Cryptarch is a dick. Because if he's nice to everybody...
I didn't say he was going to be nice. I said he's going to be less of a dick.
I like him being a dick because, for one, it seems to have always worked in my favor, generally.
Yeah. And if you're going to make him less
sick, now I'm going to get boned over.
Nah. But
it's like give me a chunk full of purples, like, all the fucking time.
Yeah, you
like,
did.
Oh, hey, Guardian.
You
like, did. I luck out.
Yeah.
In most interesting ways.
I have a fucking Cryptarch that's, like, level 34, and he's still just giving me a shit ton of blue things. And I'm like, really, bitch?
I'm, like, level 12, really? And, like, all I get is purples.
Like, I'm like, really? After all of that, I just, like...
Yeah, here's the thing. This is my reasoning for this, why I think, even though he's so high for you, it's because you probably squatted at the loot cave... to beef him up, and I did not do the loot cave.
I didn't squat at the loot cave that much.
But
I
went to the loot cave. I never went to the loot cave.
No, here's my thing. Like, before I realized how to actually play the game, I spent every waking dollar that I had at the Cryptarch buying...
Oh, the ones that he had?
Yeah.
Oh.
Like, over and over and over again.
He was selling shit, and you were buying shit.
And I was buying it.
Shit now. Because so, I know she was going to buy it anyway.
I made the Cryptarch rich, and that bitch still doesn't, like, hook me up anytime.
That's me. I just bring him shit, and he's all, yeah, that's purple. That's blue. That's purple. Hey, look, here's, like, 8 coins. I don't need them. I'm like you.
It's just not fair. It's just not fair.
But you have 32s, and I do
I have
not.
132.
I have no 32s.
Well, you could fix that. I've offered to help you fix that.
I know.
And you have turned down my offer, or just blatantly not responded.
That, yes. I can't lie. I'm less douchey 2015, I'm not gonna lie. There have been times where you were like, you wanna do something? Oh no! Yep. I look at my phone and, like, I see the message with it because
I know, because I have read receipts, so I know you read it.
Well, that's the thing. Like, the first time, like, it comes up on my main screen, and, like, if it's a short enough thing, I can see all of it without actually opening it. And I was like, oh, she wants to play Destiny. I'm eating right now.
So, again, Panda, all you need to do is just accept my invite. We'll get you to 32. Stop being a bitch and act like you don't see me inviting you. Because I know you see me inviting you.
Yeah, oh.
I know you do. And you choose to not engage. Yep. More douchey 2015. That's what I'm talking about.
I am still on the lesser side of the
I do have a... If I send you a text message and you see it and you just don't respond, that's more douchey.
That adds some points to the...
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
But I'm still on the lesser side of douchey stuff.
You still owe me a birthday dinner. So, and my birthday...
I need you a dinner.
My birthday was in February. You were going to take me out to Oys.
And then you came to my house and I cooked for you. And then the cake...
We made the plans for Oys after.
avidly play.
We're gonna do it on February break. We were
breaks at my job. Yeah. Go into the bathroom. Yeah. Listen to the songs.
That's yep. an addiction. So
I never said I was a role model.
Okay, M. Take it down a peg. But E3's gonna be off the hook. E3's gonna be off the hook for so many. So anyway, so as we get closer and closer to June 16th, I'm definitely gonna be talking more and more about stuff, and probably letting you know who I plan on having meetings with and whatnot at the show. So if there's anybody that you definitely want to hear news from, take a peek at the E3 website and all of the exhibitors, and hit us up on our Facebook page or tweet us and be like, "Yo, at ESH News. You should totally go by blah blah blah's booth." And who knows? Maybe we will.
Maybe you will. You'll do it.
Probably. I mean, if you ask nicely. If you ask nicely, I'll.
Please.
If you say pretty please with sugar on top. But only if you say pretty please. Only if you say pretty please. So that's what I got on the E3 hype train. Panda, what do you have? Because I know that you've been playing, I think, a very interesting game. I'll be honest with you, probably a game that I would not play.
Yes. I mean, I played this a little while ago, but I had always meant to bring it up. But then Happy Shiny Keys happened, and then I forgot all about it. But anyway, we're kind of going to take a detour, and we're actually going to go into some serious discussion slightly. And I know that's not normally my MO, but...
No, it's actually not ever your MO.
So, but when a game moves me and compels me to literally jump off of my bandwagon of happy games or scary games or... board games, then I feel like it's something that I want to talk on the show. And I mean,
I feel like it's something that you need to talk about on the show.
Well, that moves you and reaches you
that much.
I played this game on Steam through the Biffles laptop because, you know, sadly, I live on a Mac and not a lot of games.
Why do you say sadly?
Because there's so many awesome PC games that are not available for the Mac. So I miss out on a whole bunch of things because I do not personally have a PC.
Or you could just partition your Mac and run the Windows OS.
I am not that tech savvy.
All right, well, then don't say sadly you live on a Mac because you could fix your life.
I could fix my authentication, and I just don't.
You could fix your life, and you choose not to.
And I ain't got no financial aid to get learned anyway.
Aw, no Pell Grants for you.
Oh, burn. That hurt. Anyway, so I had gone through the list of my Biffles games, because he has way too many, and he'll never play them all. But that's okay, because I will play some. And this
I love how you were about to say, I'll play them all, and then went, let me not lie, I'll play some.
There's a lot of games. I don't think I could get through all of them, like, in a year's time. It would take me some serious time to get through his library, and he's constantly adding more. So
that's what happens when you like games.
It's a games labyrinth. Once I got in it, I would be lost forever.
Oh, you shouldn't have gone that way. You would have gone straight to the castle.
It's like, I chose poorly. But anyway.
You chose poorly.
So I saw this game, and it seemed right up my alley. It's a very heavy narrative game. It's actually very heavily text-based, too. And literally, the big warning was very sensitive subject matter about depression. And if you are suffering from it, then you probably should not play this game. It's not appropriate for children because it features a lot of mature themes and, you know, a lot of profanity. Like, the F word's literally, like, everywhere. And it's literally, like, right off the bat. Like, literally right after you finally get control of your character, essentially. Just boom, everywhere.
And by boom everywhere, you mean fuck everywhere?
Yeah, okay. Fuck everywhere. Exactly. Okay. And in the game, you are put in the skin of this character named Evan Winter, who is a professional who works in Canada, and he works for a business. He doesn't really describe what he does, but he sits at a computer, so I'm assuming he does some type of, maybe he's a code monkey, or maybe he is a, you know, like a call center or something like that. But they never really go into exactly what he does. He just goes to an office with six other people who are just as miserable, if not more miserable than him. And in the first few bits of this game, you are literally getting up and go, like, preparing to go to work, and your mind is being bombarded with these negative thoughts that you have. And they're represented technically by, like, the font being different than his conversational font. So you have to be paying attention to the words, because they're giving you more than the actual game will actually give you.
So they'll give you the context clues.
Yeah. And I mean, it's kind of done in a, I want to say kind of like an RPG maker type. Like, they're all little sprites. Like, it kind of reminds me a little bit of, in terms of the animation style, like The Witch's House, which is an RPG maker horror game that I've tried to play and then watched a Let's Play of, because it freaked me out. And it seems like a lot of people are doing things with RPG Maker lately, and they are all super amazing. And literally, you're getting out of bed and you're getting all these thoughts. And literally, at one point, it's like, we could just end it right now. Just go to the roof. And, like, you get up, you get dressed, you're in your kitchen, you have a TV, and you play video games. And then there are these little, I want to say they're more like vignettes. And, like I said, it's heavily text-based. So, like, literally, you're reading, you know, an account of Evan talking to his therapist. Or Evan... apparently he's a comedian and he's on like a Conan show, like, and he's talking to a co-host about stuff, and like randomly through these vignettes, all of a sudden there's a twist in each of them where all of a sudden you know that there's something off about it, because at this point you don't know what he does for work, so you're like, is he a comedian? Because there are some comedians who obviously use their craft to, you know, put their fears out there and try to work through them. And I'm sure there's a lot of comedians out there who have suffered from and currently suffer from depression. They bounce back through all these vignettes, and you're not really sure if it's true or not. And when you finally realize that he works like in an office and he's like pretty much like a nobody, you kind of realize that his mind is unstable. And he's a fat guy. He's like at a dead end job, and like people at the job are leaving. Like there's a girl who's very chatty initially with your character, and she's getting married soon, and she's like, yeah, and I just need to get out of here, and I need to do something different with my life. But you find out later on that up until she got proposed to, Evan was kind of attempting to hit on her.
Okay.
And she was getting kind of skeeved out, because I'm imagining that the interactions were not necessarily the most smooth. And you don't ever engage in doing that with him. It's all stuff that you learn after the fact. And people at this job, they don't really care about Evan. Like, they don't seem to really engage with him unless they have to. And the one guy who he does kind of bond with is an older gentleman who's working all this overtime. And, like, he's having problems. Because, like, the more you talk to people, you realize that everyone around Evan is really kind of miserable. And his friend, this older guy, is working so much because he wants this promotion, because he's having problems at home with his wife. She's threatening to leave, and then he won't have his kids. And like, he thinks if he just sucks up at the job, everything will work out, because he works really hard and he knows everything. And they end up giving it to this pushy, cocky upstart. And like, you can kind of tell that guy is also on the edge of possibly doing something that he may regret in the future. And like, everything is just piling up. And like, you go through, I want to say it, like 4 full days. And that's even if you do it, because literally, like, I stuck it out and I read all the vignettes, and like, it all kind of personally hit me. And I mean, I can honestly say that I have never been diagnosed with depression. I have gone into therapy when our dad passed away, because I knew I needed to talk to somebody about how I was feeling, but it never got to a point where I didn't feel like I was in control of how I felt. Like, I just wanted to have a better grasp of what I was feeling and how I could possibly, you know, keep myself from going down a way like that. And I mean, and I've certainly been sad. I mean, I'm not the most attractive person in the world. I'm clearly not the thinnest. And I mean, I have been bullied a lot. I mean, and this is stuff that everyone I feel in their life has experienced. And some people cope with it better than others. And some don't. And I'm not saying that, you know, if you have depression, you're a lesser person, because you're absolutely not. These are all normal feelings that I think people have. And I love the fact that we are using art to help us not necessarily self-medicate, but
articulate something that a lot of people don't understand.
Absolutely. So, but I mean, I'm going through all this stuff and I'm reading all this stuff and like, and it was personally affecting me. And like the game, if you can sit through it and you go through everything, it's under an hour and a half. But like I said, the context is very heady. It's very deep, and it's trying to hammer into you that your character is depressed to the point that at the end of the game, he is going to end his life. No matter what you do in this game, the ending is he is going to kill himself.
Yeah, I can't play that game.
And, right. And I mean, and it was funny because, you know, sitting there as the player, I'm like, oh, well, you know, maybe if I resolve some things and I clear the air with this girl and this other girl that I kind of slept with a couple of times because I kind of felt bad with her, maybe I can start something there. By the way, that woman had cancer, but I'm not going to go into that because that's a touchy subject for me. And at the end of it, like I resolved a lot of that stuff. And at the last day, like there's one day where literally he's in his bed, he gets fired from his job, and he's literally in bed for like hours and he just won't get up. And he is just bombarded with, we're doing it today. We're doing it today. And like you finally manage, like the only thing you can do is get up and get dressed and put your red scarf on. And you can't even, like you go to an elevator and usually you have the option to go down to the main floor or go to the roof. And they literally show you these three options and they're all go to the roof. So the game literally forces you to walk through this man's life and end it. And like I got to the end of the game, I'm like, oh my, all right, I went to the roof because you made me go up to this roof. And then like there's a certain point once you go through these gates, you can't go back. And I'm like, it's really going to make me do it. Like it's really, and it literally makes you walk up to the edge and then it cuts to black and then the ending dialogue. And it was such a provoking thing because, like I said, throughout the 4 days that you are living through this guy's character, every day you have that option to go to the roof. And it makes me wonder if I had gone through another playthrough, which after this, I really couldn't. I was very emotional after this game because it really does make you think of a whole lot of things. And obviously, like, even though this was a work of fiction, clearly there have been people who have had this thought pattern before and currently do. And, you know, feeling like they are not in control of something. And, like, that bothered me probably the most in this whole entire game is that by the end of it, literally me as a player had no control over changing my character's choice. Which is something that we love to do in our games is we right. like to control the hero and we love when we have a hero who is flawed, who comes to terms with that flaw and then rises above it. And this game is not that game. You are not getting a good ending in this game. And I mean, the sad fact of the matter is not everybody does. And I love the fact that this game was strong enough to tackle that subject. And I mean, we're seeing a whole lot of games that are playing with the empathy and people are finding ways to let these feelings out there so that people who may not be as experienced with them may encounter people who are and might understand it a little bit more. And like, that's one of the things that I've loved about video games and video games as an art, not only as a source of entertainment, because this is just a great way to purely express and convey, you know, things that people utterly cannot speak. Like, right. from their throats. And, like, it was moving. It flowed very nice. I mean, yeah, it was very text-heavy, like I said. But that was to hammer in the point that his mind, the character's mind, was just not stable.
Right.
Like, and this was, and that was the best way to do it because you had to sit there and read through all this stuff. And you as a person, as a player, are getting frustrated with all the reading you have to do. And you can't even progress until you've actually flipped through all the pages. So like the creator.
There's no way around it. You have to experience his
story. You have to do it. And like I said, I mean, there are several times, because like I said, every day they give you the option to go to the roof. And it makes me wonder if like if I'd gone through another playthrough when that first option had come up, if I'd gone up to the roof, if they would have then locked me into that ending and I would have had to do it without knowing why or seeing any more of his life. And I feel like this game actually does allow that. Like I said, I didn't have the mental and emotional strength to go through this game again to see if I'm accurate or not. But I feel like this is the type of game that would push that limit.
I feel like if you make the decision to go to the roof, you don't get to take the decision back.
And that I feel like it's so impactful and it was beautiful in its own way. And I mean, if you are someone who is constantly at battles with your inner self and your outer self, I mean, while I loved what this game did and made people aware, clearly this is not for people who are clinically, you know, diagnosed as such, because it does provoke all that type of stuff in anybody, not just people who are suffering from
it. If you are in a place that is not a good place, then this is not a game that you should play, because really and truly, this is not a game. This is an experience, you know, and there are quite a few video games, and I'm using air quotes here, that we call games that really aren't games. They're really just another form of art expression. You know, like, I feel like the things that go beyond this mechanic, that mechanic, but have a very strong narrative and are trying to either start a dialogue or paint a very clear picture of something, go beyond being a game and really do become a work of art. And this is definitely an expression of art, because that's not a game. You know, depression is not something to make light of, make jokes of.
No, and about... that's the point. The person who made this game, and he pretty much said it was pretty close to being autobiographical for him. And he even stated it in one of the first big pamphlet, big vignettes you get, is that he suffered from depression, and he hated everything about it, and... he's not making fun of it. He is not dismissing it as something like he clearly says, he's like, and I would never say that I'm cured of it, because it's not something that you can cure. It's something you can manage.
Yep.
So like even, and he came from a place of knowledge, which is why I think it's also that impactful, because he was obviously using
his experience
life as, mm-hmm. yeah, as fodder, which I thought was amazing. But yes, so if you're
what's the game again?
It's called Actual Sunlight, and it's available on Steam. That's where I played it from. And it's really, if you're looking for a story that is going to challenge you as a reader and a participant, then this is an experience for you to have. If you're having a bad day, like you were at your job, someone spilled coffee all over your TRS reports, the space bar didn't work on your computer, and you just want to hate the world, probably not the game you want to play. If you know, the skies are always kind of gray for you, definitely not the experience you want to have. Go play Spyro or Sonic.
You know, I just...
Maybe watch some Hello Kitty.
This just makes me feel even more respect for Steam, for the platform that they are, to allow a space where a game like this can not only exist, but be experienced by multitudes of people. Like, this is definitely a game that would not make it into PSN or into the Xbox Live Arcade.
Sadly, no.
You know? And, you know, for Valve to have this space where people can make these very intimate experiences and put them out for people to have an experience with, I think really just speaks volumes to like how far Steam has come when you think about it. It just makes me have so much more respect for the platform. Also Broforce, just saying though. Just saying.
The same place that has these provoking games also has games like Broforce.
Just saying. But also Broforce.
So, but that's where you can check it out. There's a lot of great reviews about the game. It got enough reception. I wouldn't say necessarily that they reviewed it very high, because I think a lot of the people who went in to review this game
probably had some very strong opinions about it.
About the subject matter and how we went about it and stuff like that. And that's it's going to happen. That happens in the game industry all the time. But if you are looking for an experience, then this is certainly an experience. Probably not a date night game, which is kind of what I turned it into. I feel like this is a version, this game, if you do this with you play this with your significant other, it's kind of like that movie Gone Girl, that everyone was like, it's not a date movie. It makes people disbelieve in the idea of marriage and it being happy. So don't see this movie.
Gone Girl.
If you believe in it. If you believe in the sanctity and the pure love of marriage, don't see this movie.
Yeah, no,
and
it's
don't
not.
Read this book.
Mm-mm. Nope. Yes, also no.
I haven't seen it, but I've heard don't see it.
No. Also no.
But that game is out there for experiencing. Also, on a slightly happier note, I do have a phone game addiction that I've been
You've actually like picked up a mobile game?
I've picked up my iPhone device and I have bought a game that's also on my iPad.
Was it Kitty in the Box?
No.
Well, then fix your life.
It's called My Singing Monsters, and it's been out for a while. And I knew a couple of friends who were playing it before, and some current friends of mine who were playing it a few months back. And now I am avidly playing it, like sneaking off during my breaks at my job to go into the bathroom to listen to the songs.
That's an addiction.
Well, with the type of line of work that I do, it's the only time of the day that I decompress.
Yes, I understand.
And that's what this game does. So literally, the name says it all. You have several different islands where you can start, you can buy some start monsters, and then you can start breeding monsters to make other monsters. They all have different elements, and they all have a particular part of a song. So the more monsters you have on a given island, the more of the melody and the harmony you're going to hear of the actual song. I only have 5 islands open right now, and I don't have that many monsters because I have been beefing them up so they make more money. This is a free-to-play game. Like, you can. There are some microtransactions available for it. Like, if you want to buy $1 million in-game, you can pay $2 for that. Or if you want to buy a shit ton of food for your monsters, which eventually it does become excruciatingly expensive to feed your animals, your monsters, you can do that. And I honestly, eerily, as tight-budgeted as I normally am, have invested some money. Actually,
really?
I have, which is very surprising because I usually am not the kind that will. I'm not into microtransactions, really.
You typically stay far, far away from them. I do.
But the songs are so catchy, and the monsters are so cute. And the Biffle's also playing it, so, like, we're friends on it, and, like, he'll light my torches that help me get new monsters, and he's always making better monsters than me because he's just kind of a genius that way. But I'm not bitter or anything, clearly. But it's available, like I said, on the iOS. I actually think you can also get it for the Android because I think that's what he plays it on. And if you jump into it, you will get addicted.
I can't. I can't do that.
You'd love it. I know you'd love it.
Nope, not getting in there.
You would love it. They're super cute. They make cute faces when they sing at you.
Nope.
And that's what I really have today. That's all I've got for
That was a bunch. I am going to now attempt to take the valley and turn it into a peak with some positive.
That singing
it was a good one. I mean, that helps.
We're walking out of the valley right now.
I'm continuing the upward trend with positivity. But then I'm going to do some valley stuff too. So, you know, there's that. But I'm going to try to spin it around. So it'll be fine. So first and foremost, we got to talk about Star Wars. Because, man, oh man, has there just been a lot of Star Wars stuff popping up. Between more videos and trailers and photos from The Force Awakens, which just make my inner fangirl squee with joy every time I see them. To things like, you know, more Clone Wars, which I think is probably one of the better CG cartoons out there right now. So I'm happy that they're doing more Clone Wars. But most importantly, Disney Infinity 3.0 is leading off with Star Wars characters and having a Star Wars kit set as the lead set, which means there's gonna be a Boba Fett figure. There's gonna be a Princess Leia figure. There's gonna be a Han Solo. They're leading off with... and some of the characters from Clone Wars are also gonna be available. Because they're leading off with a Clone Wars character in the playset that you can get for it. As well as young Anakin from the movies that we shall not name. But I'm very excited to see Disney incorporating Star Wars into the Infinity Universe, and just thinking about all of the Star Wars characters that could be made available for the playsets is just, like, astounding to me. Like, you know there's going to be a Vader character.
Absolutely.
And I will have to have that. And I will have to move him around my desk and make, like, little bad James Earl Jones voice voice when I move him, because I can't. This is CNN. That's about as low as my voice goes.
This is CNN.
Yeah, see, you just turned into Bane.
I am Michael Caine. I have a pretty, for me, I think I have a pretty good Michael Caine. I think it's pretty good. Not right now, because I'm not feeling very well, but on a good day, I have a very good Michael Caine. And I have a great Bane.
So that's really exciting, and I will be back on the Infinity train. I've got my Amiibo addiction, I think, pretty well handled and kicked now, so it's time to go back into Infinity, because I definitely need the Infinity figures. I also need a good Maleficent, so there's that. But I also need to talk about Suicide Squad. So
I'm surprised that you didn't call like an emergency podcast just talking about this alone.
I thought about it, but you were on vacation.
Yeah, I was up there like, oh no.
So
I was expecting my phone to like bloop bloop bloop, but it didn't happen.
Look, first and foremost, I like had to hit pause on Suicide Squad when they were casting Amanda Waller, because the rumors were going around that they were going to try and get Oprah, and I was like, no. No, 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 no. Although I love and give all praise to Lord Oprah.
Praise be unto her.
Praise be unto she. For she is the giver of things. Because you get a car and you get a car and you get a car. But Oprah can't be Amanda Waller.
No. Okay? I should be Amanda Waller.
And so I'm so glad that they didn't go with her. So then I was back on board the ship. Because they got the, I can't remember her name, but the chick that's in How to Get Away with Murder.
Elfrey Woodward? Oh, no. Viola Davis. Viola Davies?
Yeah.
I think?
Yeah.
I love her.
So I was like, yes, she could do it. Now, personally, I wanted CC H. Pounder, because she's voiced Amanda Waller in pretty much any animated Batman thing that was good. And she's the right age. And frankly, the right build, but I guess too Jamaican. I don't know. So they didn't go with that.
Well, because Amanda Waller is kind of a heavyset woman, isn't she?
Depends on
which
where you're picking up Amanda Waller. Okay, currently, the Amanda Waller that you see on Arrow on TV is this svelte little toothpick who basically just looks like she's just a bitch.
Oh.
Yes. She's not heavy.
I thought the one from the Batman animated series, she was a heavier set woman.
She went from being a good sized woman to like really like kingpin size heavy, depending upon who was drawing her. And in the comic books, she was always a big woman. She was a big badass.
Okay.
Always dressed in a suit, you know. So like,
wasn't it like a bluish purple suit?
Depended. There were times that she wore a white suit, like, all white with, like, black shirt. Like, she just, you know, was one of the dudes, basically. So, I was feeling better about that. And then they announced some of the other people that were going to be in Suicide Squad and how many people from the squad they were going to be bringing into the movie. And I was like, okay, all right, you're bringing Plastique. Awesome. I feel very good about that. And then they fucking announced Will Smith was going to be Deadshot. And I was like, you just had to go and fuck it up for me, didn't you? Because, as you know, I don't like Will Smith in most things.
I know you don't.
And so I was like, well, I'm not going to be able to watch that. And then they were like, well, no, we've got Margot Robbie in it as Harley. And I was like, all right, I might be back on board. And Jared Leto, who I think Jared Leto is an amazing actor. After seeing
Dallas Buyers Club, like, I was like, ooh.
Yeah, like, I think, like, a lot of people, because he got out of acting for so long, that a lot of people forgot that he was a really good actor and, you know, wasn't just, you know, in a band for all that time. That he is a really talented person on many fronts. So I was like, okay, so Jared Leto is going to be the Joker, and, you know, Suicide Squad is definitely, you know, skewing a little bit younger, obviously, to reach a new audience. I'm okay with that. I'll fucking deal with Will Smith being in it as long as you guys don't fuck stuff up. So then they started leaking some photos because Jared Leto kept, like, throwing hints out at different shows that he would go to of what his Joker would sound like, but we still hadn't seen what his Joker would look like.
Right.
You know, and a lot of people, when Heath Ledger was announced to play the Joker in the Batman reboots, were like, oh no, this isn't going to work. He's too happy. He's too smiley. Like, way too pretty. The Joker's, like, sadistic. And then he brought his Joker to life. And everyone was like, holy shit. And then he died. Right. And so, like, I knew that Leto had it in him. And when I saw his photo as the Joker, I was like, all right, so we're talking young, obviously sociopath Joker. I like it. However, the majority of the internet did not respond in kind.
No. And, I mean, like, when I first saw the picture, I was like, oh, people are not going to be happy with this. But that's because people are holding the memory of Heath Ledger, which, don't get me wrong, he had an amazing
Joker. Or they're holding comic book visions in their head. Maybe. Which, you know, the thing that's very difficult, I think, about comic book properties becoming movies is comic books are a very personal thing, right? Even when you see the character drawn in a pane, you still, in your mind, make up what they sound like and how they move, right? Right. You don't really see that in the comic book. You make that up in your imagination. And so even
each one is unique to each person.
Exactly. You know, for instance, my Joker always has a super, super high pitch. Unless I'm watching an animated series in which I want Mark Hamill voicing him always and forever, and that's it. Because Hamill's voiceover for Joker really, like, nails, for me, like, what that era, quintessentially, the Joker should sound like. And I think that it's such a personal thing that we have, especially for any books that are your favorite or near and dear to you, you already have in your mind what that character looks like at multiple ages, who they would really interact with and who they wouldn't, what they sound like and things like that. So when you're presented with someone else's interpretation and what that should look like and be, and it doesn't match your own, obviously you're going to cry foul. Right. Or if there's something that already existed, like Heath Ledger's Joker, which a lot of people fell in love with when they saw it on the screen, then it doesn't allow you to make space for anything else. And that's where I think, like, fandom goes wrong. Because you should always be open to a new expansion. Like, I crack and say all the time that, like, my favorite Batgirl is Cassandra Cain. And she is. But I don't shit on Barbara Gordon.
Right. Why would you?
Right? Like, Barbara Gordon, Batgirl, has a bunch of things going on for her. Okay? And there are some Barbara Gordon, Batgirl books that I absolutely love. You know, but Cassandra Cain is, like, that entire Batgirl series is just, there's something about it that emotionally just resonates with me. And that's why she's my favorite. And if Cassandra Cain was brought to the screen, I would definitely have feels about it. And if they cast the wrong person, Jessica Alba, as her, I would be really upset.
Who do you think, if you were going to cast, who would your Cassandra Cain be?
If they would have to do it really quick, because it would be Michelle Rodriguez.
Really?
Yeah. Because Cassandra Cain has to be believable as an assassin, and Michelle Rodriguez can pull off a fight scene in a movie. Like, you believe that she could brawl. You believe that she could take a punch and she could give a punch.
I'm sure she's fought a lot in her young scrappling days.
The thing that she would have to struggle with, so this would be the stretch for her as the actor, would be that you would have to buy her as being vulnerable.
Yeah, see, I have a hard time with that.
And I think
Try to make her vulnerable in the Fast movies, and it was not believable.
And that's where the stretch would have to be. And so, like, then my other sense goes, okay, well, then you could go Rosario Dawson. And I love Rosario, but Rosario is too old to be Cassandra Cain, because Cassandra Cain has to be younger than Nightwing for everything to work. And so I'm just like, I can't buy her as a teen.
For everything to work, does that mean they bone?
No.
Sorry, no. When you say,
but she has to be a teenage for that to work. Here's the thing. I gave you the books and you didn't read them, so that's why you don't know.
Right.
What I'm talking about.
Doesn't Nightwing eventually become Batman, or is that a different Nightwing?
No, Nightwing doesn't become Batman.
I thought Robin becomes Nightwing. Robin becomes Batman.
No, Robin becomes Nightwing.
Okay.
Nightwing does not become Batman.
Okay. Okay.
So Damian Wayne tries to become Batman.
Okay.
And usurps Robin's position for a while. Because he has daddy issues.
Is that the guy from Batman Beyond?
So Damian Wayne is Bruce Wayne's son with...
From Catwoman?
No, from Talia, what? Ra's al Ghul's daughter.
Oh.
So there's an arc where, well, depending on if you're talking about animation or you're talking about books, there's an arc where, on the animation side, Ra's al Ghul's daughter basically roofies Bruce Wayne.
Oh, my.
Because she wants a seed. Of course she can make a strong heir to be the next leader of the clan.
Wow.
And then there's another one where they just get down and get funky because Batman is just like, I'm not on that Catwoman shit. So Damian Wayne happens.
Oh, oops.
No oops. Planned. At all times planned.
Oh, okay.
By Talia. Just not by
Bruce.
So Damian Wayne happens and is raised by his mother and with the League of Assassins for a very long time until such time as Talia's like, you should spend some time with your dad. So Damian Wayne has daddy issues.
Oh, clearly.
Yes.
Well, that's right, because his daddy has parent issues.
And eventually leans more towards the League thinking when it comes to killing people and whatnot, and less towards the Batman of not killing people, just beating them into a pulp, basically, and letting the system deal with them. And Damian's like, ah, fuck all that stuff, and actually, fuck you, Dad, because you're a douchebag, and whatever. So, yeah.
You're not my dad.
So he pretends to be Batman to try and drag his name through the mud.
Oh.
Yeah. All Damian right. Damian Wayne is a very interesting character. You actually, if I remember correctly, I believe that he is in the Injustice game.
Okay.
Oh. If I remember correctly. Yeah, Damian Wayne is in the Injustice game.
Because then I'm blurring my animated Batmans. Because I know, yes. Like, after the animated series, we got Batman Beyond, which was, like, the younger, hipper...
And that was Terry. And Terry... Yes. And Terry basically was not from the wrong side of the tracks, but wasn't from, like, a hoity-toity rich family, and basically ended up becoming a helper for Bruce Wayne, because, like, I can't remember how it started, but, like, Bruce Wayne was getting attacked and his dog was trying to protect him, but it didn't work out, so Terry ended up helping him out and getting him home. And accidentally seeing the Batcave.
Oh no, I went through a door that clearly said, don't go in this door.
And so,
Batcave.
He basically was like, oh my god, you're the Batman, or you were the Batman, and you're an old man now, but I'm young and hip, and like, I could do this. And Bruce is like, no, you couldn't. I brought too many dark people in, get the fuck out of my house. And then some other shit pops off, and he's like, alright, I'll train you, because you need training, because you're wild, and you're crazy, Terry, and whatever. And so then he became Batman in the Beyond series, and then they repurposed a bunch of characters and brought them back. And then there were a couple of movies, one where they brought and reintroduced somehow magically, it was very interesting, the Joker came back, and Hamill did the voice. It was crazy what went on there. But then they did another sum-up movie, which most people haven't seen, because it was a direct-to-video piece, and I think you can still get it on Netflix.
Is it Phantasm?
I can't remember if it was...
Phantasm?
I think it was after Phantasm. But it basically summed up the series. And the exploration that they did, it basically turned out... And Amanda Waller had a hand in this, by the way. Just want to share that. That it was no accident, necessarily, that Terry gravitated towards Bruce Wayne. Because, as it turned out, Bruce Wayne was his dad. He was not Damian Wayne...
But he was another
Wayne.
All right, Bruce, you need to keep your $1 million penis in your
mouth. Well, no, there was a exchange.
They extract the semen.
There was a DNA taken and DNA.
Oh my!
Entered unbeknownst to people. Ooh. And what's not. Because Amanda Waller believed that, you know, Batman was getting old and the world needed another Batman.
This is not the Batman you wanted, but the Batman you deserve.
Whether Bruce Wayne wanted to be a part of it or not, because while there were things that she didn't like about Bruce Wayne, Batman was needed. So she ensured that there would be another Batman in that generation.
Oh.
Womp, womp, womp.
Oh, Amanda Waller.
And so then, like, the rest of the thing was, like, Terry basically coming to terms with Bruce Wayne was his dad. And that,
That's that.
That. So that happened. Which was a very interesting series, but, I think that, like, people just need to kind of take a step back here. Because I had the same feelings when they announced Guardians. I was like, ooh. When they started talking about who's going to play what roles, I was like, outside of Drax, like, I'm not sure about Chris Pratt. Because I've really only seen him in Parks and Rec. And, you know, I was like, Star-Lord's got to be kind of buff. You know? So that you
And he buffed the fuck up.
And he buffed the fuck up. You know? And I love Zoe Saldana. I knew that she could do action, but I wasn't sure if she would do superhero action.
I think she did a really good job as
I do. But at the time when they announced her, I was like, oh, I still had her in my head as Uhura. And I'm just like, I know she gets sci-fi.
You probably thought they were going to cast Vin Diesel for Drax.
I did. Like, when I heard Vin Diesel was attached, I'm like, all right, well, he's Drax. That makes sense. That makes sense. And then when they made him Gruber, I was like, all right, that makes even more sense, actually, when you think about it, you know. So I think we just kind of need to wait and see what Suicide Squad turns out to be before, like, spersions are cast. So I'm taking a step back here on the nerdery and just saying, hey, well, let it fly and see what it turns into. I will probably see it in the theater, because I'm that nerdy, because I love comic books, and I have not been disappointed in quite some time by a comic book turned into a movie, and I really hope they don't fuck up this Fantastic Four movie that they're doing. Mm-hmm. And then finally, just because, again, we're on comic books and the nerdery, that they finally have gone and made Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver not Magneto's kids. Both, I think, is awesome and also has scarred me as a child.
I think there was an announcement. I think Marvel was saying that they're no longer mutants.
I just said that. They made them not Magneto's kids. They're no longer
mutants. Oh, wait, they were Magneto's kids?
Jesus Christ, yes.
Well, I mean, not...
Quicksilver...
No. In my mind, I was sitting thinking, like, they were, like, Russian. And, like, she wore red a lot. He had white hair. And I was like, oh my god, those are the Magneto colors. In my mind. That's literally what just happened in my brain.
Yes.
But I'm going to curtail you a little bit. I saw an interesting article because they were talking about how we've seen two different representations of Quicksilver.
Yes.
And like, it was pretty amazing. I'll put a link in the description for this show. I thought it was a fantastic read.
But anyway, yes, Quicksilver has been depicted in a multitude of ways, but for a very long time in canon, Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver were Magneto's kids. Quicksilver was always doing stuff to try and get his father's approval and acknowledgement. Scarlet Witch was always kind of the more beloved and on a higher pedestal, and Magneto relied on her a lot more.
I mean, she had hexing powers. Quicksilver could just run fast.
It was all about getting daddy's love. Yeah, Magneto has multitudes of children. But now, Scarlet Witch is not one of them. Which...
And I heard really kind of canon, Scarlet Witch gets with Vision.
Yes. This is true.
Nice.
So the fact that Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch are not mutants means that Fox, which has the rights to the X-Men movies, cannot feature them in any more X-Men movies because they are not in the X-Men canon.
Ooh, smart move, Marvel.
So they now revert back to Marvel and can be in Marvel movies. So Marvel making moves, man. Big time. Big time. So see? There it is. There's the up. Yay!
Yay!
The up! I made the up! And also, Agent Carter got renewed. So, yay!
Better!
There you have it. So, you know, Marvel doing it up big. Phase 3 ain't no joke. So, like, Let's do this. Bring it on, nerds. If you've got stuff to say and you want to say it to us, then you can hit us up on our social at facebook.com/landofesh. You can also hit us up on Twitter at ESH News. Ask us questions. Share your thoughts with us. We'll pull some fun ones. We'll share them on the podcast. You can check out the stuff that we're writing on our website, egmnow.com/electricsisterhood. That's where you'll find all of our AAA stuff. All of our big, deep pieces will be there. You'll find the indies and daily, just the stuff that we're enjoying on our main site, www.electricsisterhood.com. You'll also find our podcast there, as well as in iTunes, either on the desktop or in the podcast application. Just search for the Eshcast and subscribe, which will make sure that you get brand new episodes the moment we put them out every week. You can also check out some of the other amazing shows from our teammates and websites, which include No Borders, No Race over at b3crew.com, Geek Aggro, which is amazing, amazing EDM trap playlist. Lists. I'm telling you, if you're working out, you definitely want to grab something from Geek Aggro. Out Thursdays, if you've got issues,
he's got issues.
Y'all can have issues together. The Issues Guy Issues Program. You can call in live, be part of his weekly recap shows. I'm telling you, if you're into Game of Thrones or The Walking Dead, you need to be up on The Issues Guy and theissuesprogram.com. For the rest of your week, like I said, we're all over social. We're sharing stories. We're sharing thoughts. Be part of our network. Be part of the community. We love having you, so be a part of that. You can also catch our show in Stitcher Radio, and you can catch it over at VogNetwork.com and check out some of the amazing shows that are over at VOG as well. I can't even tell you how much I love the game community, and you will love it even more when you check out VogNetwork.com. So with that, I'm going to turn to my sister and say, "Ayo, sis!
Hey!
What shit you digging this week?"
Comedic timing.
Yeah, you are.
I love comedic timing and kitty cats.
Uh-huh.
What shit are you digging this week?
Ice cream sandwich trucks.
Fuck yes.
So with that, I'm Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
Until next time, folks.
Peace.